live and direct from my phone to your ears. Welcome to my voice notes.
Hello and welcome to my voice notes. And greetings from sunny and beautiful and magical Venezia. As you might know, it's the Biennale. This was the opening week where the art glitterati get together every 2 years for the opening of the longest running exhibition, where all the different nations have a representation by an artist and people come to look at that. And simultaneously, amazing, incredible exhibitions going on in different palazzos and museums. And I'll definitely give you a little highlights from my personal favorites in a minute. But before we get to that, let's talk about London, as I was just there last week for a couple of meetings and setting the scene for future interviews for Are We On Air. But more importantly, had a chance to sit down with some old friends and talk about the London scene and what's happening right now. Actually, I didn't get to see much of London. I was literally just between the Chiltern and the Standard in meetings, so I didn't get to explore the city much. But it was enough to bump into my old friend, Nick Hatfield, who's now the music director at the Standard in London. Nick and I know each other for years, I mean 20 years, maybe less, but early days in London. And it's nice to see him now in my old role when I was the music director for the Standard Hotels. And yeah, I just had a little chat with him, and I like having conversations with people to get an idea of what's happening right now, today, and to have the ears to the ground. That way you can always paint your picture of what's happening, generally speaking. Anyway, I let you listen to him now, and after that we'll speak about Venezia. So Nick, what's the current situation of London? No, let's talk about the happening areas or non-happening areas from our time 20 years ago to now.
Right, so I think when we were first going out, it was Central London was popping, obviously. So it's kind of the tail end of like Central London being a thing, yeah. Because you had stuff like Trash and, you know, all the indie clubs like Frog and that whole like Soho, Tottenham Court Road scene was like really popping. Also, I guess we hung out a bit in Mayfair. Guilty. And that, I guess that was like just pre-recession as well. So just before 2008, there was this big wave of energy in that whole world that kind of, I think the recession kind of killed off a little bit. And I think a lot of businesses like sold up and just decided that like nightlife wasn't really financially sensible anymore. But yeah, I actually really miss the end. Particularly, yeah. I got invited to a squat rave there about 2 months ago.
When the space still exists?
The space still exists. So they shut down this legendary club, which was like, you know, loads of seminal nights of the time.
You've been to Trash,
man. Yeah. And obviously that was like, yeah, hugely culturally significant space. They shut it down to like redevelop. However many years later now, 12 years later, it's... It's still just empty. It's a guardianship. And there's this really great queer GABA collective that exists now called Guttering, which is actually the only party that I went to during lockdown. It's incredible, like blew my mind. And they were doing it was actually during Freeze, they invited everyone to this like squat rave in the end. And I was like, oh my God, I'm definitely going to this. Showed up, roadblock, the police were already there, the party didn't happen. But
then you...
They knew, yeah. But I think generally, East London, I don't know, there's still things that happen there, but it's not so... All those spots like Hackney Wick, Dalston, you kind of get a bit of an eye roll when you get invited to them because they did have their day. And I think for me, like the most interesting spaces have been like in Canning Town, Tottenham, these kind of Bermondsey, the industrial areas that haven't quite been kind of like
tapped into
or gentrified yet properly.
Because even Hackney is not in a way gentrified, right? Past 20 years, I mean.
Yeah, I think it's just purely the cost of living there is so much higher than it was. Yeah. So, you know, they've somehow commodified this like quite divey way of living, right? Yeah. So you like live in this kind of.
I remember Stoke Newington being a dump.
Yeah. Well, now it's like you live in a warehouse with like 9 other people, and you're still paying like £1,000 a month or whatever. Wow. It's like, you know, same as you would pay to live in Chelsea, you know, probably.
And you know, you said something the other night, which I thought was interesting. How the kids party differently to us. You remember, like.
I don't remember saying that, but
you do remember, you don't?
No, I don't remember.
You know, because I was like, oh, look, I don't know, whatever party was happening upstairs. I was like, it reminds me about like the nights at family or golf sale or whatever it was. You know, like kids actually making an effort, dressing up. It was very queer, very like electronic. But you say, and you were agreeing, but the difference were, I think they're less. Like they're not so concerned about like drinking and partying like heavily. And I think that was like how their culture slightly changed.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think I feel like there was definitely a dip in. There was that moment where like I think kids just stopped drinking as much, and I guess you know this whole kind of idea of identity became played out much more online and through like your persona and social media and stuff. And I feel like the latest generation from my perspective are like getting back to that, like in real life, getting a bit lit and getting a bit crazy.
But more into psychedelics now. That's what
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Psychedelics is a thing. Yeah. It's true. It's not so like cokey ecstasy and more. Yeah. I think psychedelics, that's a big wave. Which I'm down for. Oh, that's what you. I think you were. Maybe was it you that I was talking to about this? But
probably.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's why I remember there was something. I mean, it was such a blurry moment. But
the funnest party I went to, kind of recent times, was this guttering thing, which to me was like the closest thing I've experienced to like a really kind of new youth culture led. Kind of like queer fabulous experience, but in a very like gothy punky way. And I made this film during lockdown, a short film about the relationship between like rave culture and kind of pre-Christian mythology and Celtic kind of influence.
What's it called?
It's called Untimey. We're showing it at the ICA in a couple
really?
Of weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
But we were editing it, and my studio was in Tottenham in this like really cool kind of artist complex, and my friend was like, oh, do you want to come to this rave? And I was like, nah, I'm good, I'm tired. And then I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's lockdown. Like, who? I never get asked that question. Yeah. I was like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
I was dressed like shit. I was just in my studio clothes or whatever, and showed up to this party, and it was in Old Street above the donut shop, you know, right by the Old Street roundabout. Yeah. You know, like, the balls of putting on a party during lockdown, like in that spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Already, I was like, okay, this is impressive.
Yeah.
And we weren't. They said you had to get in, and I think before 11 p.m. And we got there at like 11:30, and the door was locked, so we had to clamber over and get in. And we finally like wormed our way in there. I was a bit like, oh shit, like I'm not a bit nervous doing this. I'm a bit out of practice. Usually, like the blag was what we used to do all the time. Just like we wouldn't think twice about grabbing Vivian Westwood's dress to get into a fashion party or whatever. but yeah, so we got in there and I walked in, and I remember like never feeling so like just white and like sort of heteronormative in my life. Just probably because of what I was wearing, but I was like, oh my god. And like my immediate reaction was like, fuck, I'm gonna get spotted and kicked out, you know? Because every kid was like 19, dressed amazing, but like in this really, just kind of unusual, kind of like a bit punky, a bit gothy, but like also they kind of like had this, like I remember seeing one girl who had like, you know, self-harm marks all down her arm. And she wasn't covering it. She was like wearing it as if it was like a badge. And I was like, fuck, this is like the Matrix shit, you know? Yeah. And
Are there any like DJs or musicians that kind of stood out that are kind of the face of that scene?
Yeah, I mean,
like for us back then it was Arrow, right? At Trash. So
I'm not sure, you know. I feel like there's this...
Does that not exist?
I mean, this is the interesting thing because, you know, my first reaction to the music was like, how the hell am I going to, like, dance to this? It was like 160 BPM, oh, wow. Basically Gabba. And obviously, like, that music, if I'd heard it in isolation, I'd have probably been, like, immediately, like, repelled. But,
yeah.
But
in
because
the context. Yeah.
In the context, exactly, which is so important. And just seeing the way that they were moving and seeing the way that, like, you know, even just that arm thing is, like, to see someone, like, wear something that's traditionally a source of shame, to wear it in a way that's, like, a badge of honour and, you know, to appropriate that thing for themselves. So, but yeah, I think then what happened was this beautiful, like, 6'7" Jamaican, you know, I'm not going to say a they, came up to me and was like, who are you? And I was like, Nick? And they're like, where are you from? And I was like, London. And they're like, and I was like, where are you from? They were like, Jamaican. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, okay, I've been busted here. And then, like, basically, they just grabbed my hand and we just, like, held hands and danced together for 10 minutes. And it was just, like, the sweetest thing ever. And then we just, like, kind of went our separate ways. And I was like, oh, my God, rave culture, you know? Like,
wow.
But, yeah, in turn...
Yeah, that's how we met. I held his hand, we're dancing.
Pretty much. That's how I ended up on that bed.
Yeah. There must have been a night of beaches, I think.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. So that was, like, really, really mind-blowing. And actually, when we released this film, we did this party in Hackney Wick. It was the first day of lockdown lifting. It was a Monday night.
Yeah.
And we were like, best way to make this, to release this film, which was all about the conflict between restriction and freedom. And it wasn't so much like a rave film, it was like a yearning for rave film. And we were like, cool, let's put it out on the day when we can come together and have this kind of communal song and dance, you know? And then we started by just saying, like, oh, let's invite some friends to show this film. It's a short film, it's like 6 minutes. And so we're like, oh, maybe we'll get a few other people to contribute work. And then, like, within a week, we had, like, Mark Leckie coming, providing a work, like, Black Kane, Space Africa, like, Jonathan Castro, all these, like, people, like, Zakia, who's done a really great work in a similar theme. So all these people just came on board to just throw this free party. Thank you, yeah, I'm done, thank you. And then we asked Guttering to do the after party. And so we went from, like, 6 till... like 11 or 11:30, and then Guttering did the forest rave. So we gave out maps at the party, and we all walked together afterwards, and, like, you know, you can, it's pitch dark, but you could hear, like, a distant very fast drum beat. And we through the trees and then finally made it to this kind of Arcadian kind of utopian dream.
Love it.
And the police came and shut it down.
Oh, God.
At 2 a.m. but then I had someone documenting the whole evening, and obviously when the police came, I was like, this is perfect.
Recording.
Shoot it.
That's what I did.
Keep rolling.
That's what I did. When we had a little pop-up, I went in a pop-up kiosk in Berlin, and the police came. Everyone was freaked out. I was like, this is great, because I was like, let's shut that. Let's end in 10 minutes anyway. I was tired. Like, so it was perfect ending. We were like, yeah, great footage. And like, everyone was like, I took the mic. We did the whole thing. They're like, the police was blushing, you know, because I put them on the spot with the mic in front of the crowd.
Oh, the police showing up... It's great.
Yeah.
It's, as long as it's the right time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, perfect. But thank you very much, Nicky.
No worries.
There's more where that came from.
Yeah.
Was raised off a tape by Skipper. I learned the streets of Skinner, where the walls are thin and the grey cloud thick TikTok. And another day's lost as I drown in smog. Follow my fog, I'm looking for time on the Casio Foss. I got God on my watch, monks that have some and that have nots. Thicker the plot, quicker we rot, as long as I trot. This all that we got, start to connect these dots. Like time ain't lost, man, it's just changed. Back then all I ever cared for was a silver chain. Pain stains my veins like paint in the street. For clean Nike just becomes obsolete. Two right feet, me following the wind. Hollow in silence, slide with a grin. Put down my gin to the plastic cup. Worst of the pig, I parked like, who wrote this plot? I'm losing, steadily cruising. Substance abusing, the cows keep oozing. Shine, I'm oozing, solo, so no choosing. Up, love struck two step to a love hug. Tuck, I've been following my nut. Not what I hold in my heart. Some degree.
Well, that was Nick in London. It was an interesting insight in the youth and the nightlife. And now I'm in, yeah, Cafe Florian in Venezia on a beautiful sunny morning on a Monday, which also happened to be Liberation Day, which I did not know. And usually the key, if you want to explore the Florian or anything in Venezia, is to wake up very early before the crowds. That way you can enjoy the San Marco Square pretty much by yourself. And yeah, but there's now Liberation Day, they're celebrating, and beautiful music and trumpets. That's a nice way to get woken up. It's a beautiful scenery, and you can hear some now. But going to the arts, I was invited by my friends at Maison Valentino to come by for a little dinner, which I did, but obviously I was planning on coming anyway to see some arte. I only had like a day and a half, so I had a quick run through the Biennale and the Arsenale, which was great as always. I think I've seen, in my personal opinion, stronger years before, but it was just nice to be back in that beautiful mise-en-scene and seeing people again, some art glitterati I haven't seen in years, and you know, just experiencing art together. And some of the highlights, my personal highlights, it's definitely got to be the Anish Kapoor exhibition, the Marlene Dumas, the Rakib Shah, that was actually put together by a friend of our show and my old mentor, Sir Noam Rosenthal, which I highly recommend. It's at the, I don't know how to pronounce it, but Chapesaro, or Sapesaro. But another exhibition I highly recommend is by another friend of mine, by Justus Kevenik, and it's at a Cabrita in Chiesa San Fantin. Go and have a look. What else did I enjoy? Honestly, actually, one of our last guests on Are We On Air was Johan Koenig, a gallerist and art dealer. And actually, it was one thing I really enjoyed what he said is you need to experience art like music. It has to be a visceral experience. You don't need to know the context, the heritage, the history. You just let it kind of flow over you and see if it creates a reaction with you or not. And with that, even though I have a little bit of experience in the art world and been around, but still I always try to look at these things as a novice and just see does it speak to me or not. And I realize that my taste has changed. And I think that applies to any different medium, music, art, cinema. Things evolve, we evolve, and it's okay to let go of the past. And there was actually one beautiful quote I saw. I'm not sure exactly at which pavilion it was, but everything changes, nothing dies, everything flows, and every image is formed in movement. And I was like, that was so on point and perfect way to wrap up this week's voice note. And I'm gonna wrap it up with some Gustav Mahler. Why not? Soundtrack of Death in Venice. Isn't more fitting than this. And I'll speak to you soon.